Back in November last year, we announced Project Possible, and we were excited to do it. Project Possible, if you're unaware what that is, it's the name that we give our building project because we believe that no matter what, it is possible. No matter what we see, it is possible. And over this last 10 months, God has been doing incredible things. And so this morning, I really just want to boast in his faithfulness. I want to boast in how good he has been and thank him and continue to thank him because we need him more. We need him more. We're not quite there yet. But I love vision this morning, and vision is so important, and Vision Sunday is so important. And for any organization or any family or any business, it's important to have vision, because what vision does in the tough seasons, it reminds us of what we're going for. It reminds us of what we're aiming for. Whenever we get stuck in the present, we look to our vision, we say, okay, but this is what we're going for. This is what it's about. Maybe if you're a parent, then you think to yourself, well, no, one day they're going to leave the house. Maybe that'll be your vision. Or if you're not a parent, well, one day we're going to have a beautiful baby. It's going to be worth the pain. It's going to be worth what we go through. And it's the same for us. And in the midst of vision, you know what the problem is? There's a lot of waiting. We would love it to be tomorrow. We'd love it to be yesterday. And we set out and we said, this vision, this Project Possible, we reckon it's going to take about 5 years. And so the waiting can be not nice sometimes. The waiting is like, Lord, can we not do it a bit sooner? But this morning, I want to encourage your hearts, and I want to just praise the Lord and thank him for all that he's been doing. Peter, go for the next slide. This is what we're thinking about today. I want to remind us of our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith, it's how we get saved. When we trust in the God that we cannot see, but we have a revelation of the Holy Spirit, we say, but something's changing inside of me, something's convicting my heart, and then by faith, we take the step. And here's the difference between us and everybody else. Our faith is not based on what we see or touch. Our faith is based on Jesus. We say that by faith we will actually see. By faith we will be saved. By faith we will see God do incredible things. So this morning I want to stir your faith, because our faith is not in when we see bricks and mortar go up. Our faith is not even when we see the seat number go up. Our faith is in Jesus. He is wonderful and he is amazing. So what is our substance? Our substance is Jesus. When we don't have what we want yet, when it hasn't come to pass yet, when it hasn't went through all that it needs to go through, when you look at your bank balance, you think, oh, it's going down rather than up, we still have faith in Jesus because he has never failed us. Hit the next one, Peter. So where is our hope as we wait? Where is our hope as we wait? Here was a statement that God put in my heart for this last few weeks, is that all we see is impossible. Everywhere we look, it's just as impossible. That building out there, it's impossible. I mean, to see your friend get saved, it just seems impossible. Seems impossible, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And yet all we know, all that we trust, all that we have faith in says it is possible. Because we know the testimonies from before. We heard a powerful testimony last night from a friend of ours, from Moira Josh. And he just shared about the goodness of God in the midst of battles. And so all we know is that God just keeps being faithful, that God's still amazing. And this morning we stir our faith with that knowledge that even as we're not there yet, and even as we're waiting, God is still wonderful and God is still doing good things. And here's the reason for it. Peter, hit the next one. The reason for it is our hope is seated in heaven and he is victorious. He is victorious this morning. You see, our King has finished his work. Our King has finished his work. When he went to the cross, he cried out, "It is finished." And when he ascended into heaven 50 days later, guess what he did? He took his seat beside the Father and he sat down because everything was done. Everything was done. Our God is victorious. Our hope is seated in heaven because the work has already been done. And now he extends that faith. He extends that favor to us. And as we're going to see a bit later on, we're going to ask the question, where am I seated? Okay, we're going to have a look at it this morning. Peter, give me the next one. This has been our journey so far. Maybe you were here in 2006. In fact, nobody was here in 2006. The first meeting was that bad. There was only 7 of us. Everybody else left. They said, we'll never be back to this thing. But thankfully, me and Nikki stuck at it, and God has been faithful along the way. And we've seen God do amazing things. Our young adults just grew, and we saw lots of people getting saved. And eventually, we came to this point in 2013 where everything just started to change. We said, God, maybe you want us to plant a church. And we kind of resisted it for a season, thought, well, we're not qualified for this, not ready for this. God, do we have to do this? And he said, a bit like Jonah, you better or I'll swallow you up. No, he said, come on, you can do this thing. You can trust me. It's going to be okay. And so by faith, we took a radical step and we saw this building, the one that you're in. And it was advertised at one stage for, I don't know, $500,000 or something ridiculous. So we went the other way and we bid $30,000. And they laughed at us and they said, no way, you can't have it for that. Eventually, we got it for $45,000. And we paid for that whole thing in less than 8 weeks. And it was just young adults that paid for it. It was no big person that came in with big finance and said, have this 30 or have this 40. It was money here, money there, and everybody just gave all that they could. It was radical. It was amazing. It was incredible. And that has been the start and continued to be our journey over this last few years. We worked on the building for about a year. We began the church in 2015. Everybody said we're a cult. Hopefully you don't say that anymore. But we knew that we were after Jesus and we were after the things of God. And our faith was crazy, but we believed in an incredible God. And then 2017, we weren't done yet there. God said, why don't you buy next door? And we said, what, Lord? We've only just cleared our debts from the 45 and all the money it took to furnish this building. We can't go for there. He said, no, you've got to go for it. And I said, but Lord, it's not even a usable building. It's completely derelict. I mean, there hasn't been anybody in it in less than 20 years. It's a waste of time. And yet something started to birth and something started to dream. We said, maybe we should go for it. So if you remember the story, we bid $145,000. This building at one point valued over $1 million. We bid $145,000, and they said, no way. We eventually, 2 weeks later, bid $175,000, and they dismissed it. And then 2 weeks after that, they sent me an email that made me sick. They said, you've just bought a building. I was like, oh no, we've got less money than we did at the start. The 45 was hard. The 175, what are we going to do, Lord? But we kept reminding ourselves, where is Jesus? Where is our hope? He's seated in heaven. His work is complete. He has supplied everything that we need. Everything is there for us. And we started to dream, we started to pray, we started to panic a bit too, and we started to believe. And in just over 3 months, or a bit less than 3 months, we raised all that money as well. And then you think to yourself, maybe that's it, Lord. But he just keeps reminding us the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And along that way, we've seen so many people get saved. We've seen so many incredible things take place. Baptisms, we're actually doing another one very shortly. We've been delaying it for a bit, but it's coming up really soon. And we've been seeing great, amazing things happen. And then last year, after we prayed for about a year, we launched Project Possible. And now today, we're up to 2019. Peter, go to the next one for me. This is what we currently do. I'm not going to take time to go through it, but there's 15 odd things that we do and an awful lot more, and we're believing for so much more as the Lord desires. Give me the next one. So vision for the future. Let's have a look at this morning. Here's our future dream and vision. And as I said, the Bible tells and makes it very clear, without vision, the people perish. We need things in front of us to spur us on. We need that. We're going to win. We're going to aim for that. We're going to work hard and aim for this. We need those things in the future to drive us forward. And this has always been our dream, and this continues to be our dream until the Lord changes it. To see a city and a county and a country come to know Jesus, to know their full identity in him. And we broke it down into four basic things. I want to see 15,000 people saved. We've been saying this from the very beginning. And so everything that we go to do, we try to make it add up to this statement. We try to make it add up to this. 15,000 people. And I know in your mind, you're probably thinking, that's just ridiculous. 15,000 all of Armagh? Not really. Not when you go to a football stadium and there's 40, 50, 60,000 people there. And you realize it's just that wee corner over there. That's all we want, Lord. Just that wee corner. In fact, you know what? These dreams aren't big enough. They're not big enough, but they're where we're going to start. And it's what we're going to aim for first, and then we'll see how we go. But we want to see our whole city saved. This is a big dream of ours. We want to see continuous outreach in the city. And we have been aiming for this for years. And we've been trusting the Lord for this 4 years. And we've been actively going in year on year, month on month, to do our very best. We said this one as a laugh years ago, but we started to believe it more and more. To be the fourth emergency service. So we don't want to be a fire brigade, an ambulance, or a policeman. We're not interested in that. It's too difficult for us. But we will be the fourth emergency service. And we will be the people, hopefully, that they will call and say, hey, can you help me? There doesn't seem to be anybody else to help me. Could you help me with this? Could you point me in the right direction? We've begun to see that. We believe we're going to see that an awful lot more. And then lastly, and this is my heart, is that we're going to see this whole region prosper. You see, when the kingdom of God really moves, the whole region prospers. Families get restored. Relationships get rebuilt. People come to Christ in radical ways. The economy starts to rise. Blessing starts to unfold in every way. You see, sometimes one of the biggest mistakes that we make is that we think the gospel is simply salvation. That's just the beginning. It's an abundance. God says, I'm bringing you a life, and life to all fullness, or life to abundance. He wants to prosper us to prosper in every way, because he wants heaven to come to earth. And so this morning, allow your faith to rise. This is what we are after. Next one, please, Peter. What will it look like? This is a recap to remind you of what we looked at last year. Outline of our building. There's the yellow line. That's what we're currently in. We're underneath that roof at the moment. Don't let it fall in, Lord. We're underneath it. And then the red line is what we purchased and what the Lord gave us. And you can see it's a complete wreck. We can't move in there. We need to do something amazing with it. Next one. This is our plans that we put out last year, and I want to just draw your attention to it again. The auditorium where we're sitting at the moment will always be the place that we sit. I think that's quite funny. It'll just get taller, it'll get longer, it'll get wider, but this is where we'll always sit. But it will double in size, so we'll be able to have over 400 people sit in here. Then we'll have this wonderful breakout space, and you're thinking to yourself, what on earth's that for? But that's because we're not dreaming for 400. Remember, we want 15,000, so we're going to have to do multiple services. And so to do that, we need a space to get people past each other in and out, be able to chat, be able to mingle, be able to do things. So you need a breakout space. We have all the different rooms, multi-sensory, toilets, preschool rooms that will double up during the week. Give me the next one. That's the middle floor. This is the bottom floor. Tribe, you've seen them. They go into this small room every week, and they have to squeeze in there. We're going to give them their whole space. Basically, all of downstairs will become theirs. They won't even allow us old fogies in. They'll just say, no, if you're not in high school, you're not getting in. But they will have so much fun in their toilets. But look at this wonderful kids' auditorium, 150-seater, multi-purpose for room hire, parties, business lunches, whatever people want to use it for. We simply want to be a blessing to the community in every way, and this is what we're building, and this is what we're aiming for. We will have an industrial kitchen, so we can be a blessing that way. Coffee shop right in the main street, reception area, and then go right to the top floor for me, Peter. We'll have our offices, meeting rooms, counseling, and prayer suites. That's a bit of an idea, subject to change, because as God grows things and gives us new ideas, you never know. We might change a room. We might double it up for something else. One that we forgot about, that we remembered, what we spoke about years ago, is that we'd have a bit of a jungle gym. So I don't know. We maybe squeeze that in. I fancy having a go at that. I think it'd be a blessing to our community. Next slide, Peter. This is the time frame. We're in the process of the waiting. We started in 2018. This year has been a lot of just paperwork, planning, council, architects. That's going to continue for the next couple of years, maybe even more. That's just the way the process works. It's annoying. It's really annoying, but it's just the way it is. But our aim is by 2022, we're going to have this watertight shell up. This building will be built. We'll be looking out there. You won't see anything. It'll be dark because the building will be right up beside you. And then we'll begin to work at that inside and just see God grow that and bring it to fruition in every way. And then by 2022 or something like that, we'll begin to complete first and second floor. So it's a long dream, but we're planning to be here for a long time. Amen. We're not just here for a couple of years and just blow out, and that's it. We're here for a long time. We're here to establish for generations, because we're looking to bring generational change to Armagh, not just for 20 years or not just for a short season, but generational change that will forever impact this nation and this area. Next slide, Peter. So how much? We shocked you last year, 1.5. Now we're not even shocked by that. 1.5 million. I'm shocked by that. Trust me. 1.5 million. It's a crazy number. It's just, wow, Lord, how are we ever going to do that? But you know what the Lord has spoken to me? And hopefully he's speaking it to you too, because I don't want to be crazy. He said, hey, if I was faithful in the 45 and I was faithful in the 175, I will be faithful in the 1.5. It's only a number. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Thank you, Lord, that you do, because I don't. Amen? So we need the Lord to bless us in every way. So here's how it breaks down. We started to have a think. Peter, go next slide, please. This is our breakdown. We said, look, we need somehow to break this down, and we prayed about it. And for those that know, then, this is just a recap, and for those that don't, this is how we came to it. We said, well, look, we're looking to do double services. We'll get us to about 850 seats or 850 people. If we divide that into 1.5 million over 5 years, gets us to 1,800 per seat, but that's only £30 a month. And really the idea behind this was we knew it would always be ridiculous. We knew it would always be way out there. Without God's grace, without his goodness, we would never accomplish it. But what we felt was we're just in 1.5 million. It was disabling us. Because how do you even get your head around that? What's the point of even giving £5 to that or even £1,000 to that? It doesn't go anywhere inside of 1.5 million. So we had to break it down to make it a bit more manageable for us. And a bit like the 5,000 people where Jesus goes and he says, hey, we've got 5,000 men here and women and children. What are we going to do with them? Disciples turn around and say, we should just send them away. We should just send them away. Says the Lord says, no, we're not going to send them away. Let's find out what we do have. And so they find that little boy who had the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, brought them to Jesus. And note what he did. He didn't start saying, oh, Lord, would you multiply? Would you increase this? Would you do this? You know what he did? He simply received it with thankfulness, and then he brought it with thankfulness to the Father. And note what the Father did. Because remember, our Father's in total control, has everything that we have need of before we even ask, knows everything we're going to even ask before we even ask it. He simply blessed it. Because every time the Lord blesses, he multiplies. Every single time the Lord blesses, he multiplies. He knows what this is about because this is his project. He knows the needs of this project because this was his design and this was his plan, not ours. And we trust him. Remember what we're to have, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of not seen yet. I trust in Jesus. I know him. And even though I can't touch it yet or see it yet or walk into it yet, I know that he has it under control. We are a people of faith. We receive everything by faith. And so we broke it down just in the next slide again just to show you. 1.5 million, 850 people, 5 years, £30 a month. Now suddenly this is something that we can get our heads around. Suddenly it's something that we can say, okay, maybe we could chip away at this. Maybe we could make a start at this. And I believe as we faithfully give all that we can give, God will continue to bless because that's what he's always done. That's what he always does, and he will continue to do that. Next slide, Peter. So why seats? Well, seats are just a constant reminder of people. Here's what I love about seats. Seats just do their job. They allow people to sit on them. Isn't that good news? Sometimes we just have to be obedient to the call of God. Sometimes we just have to do our job. And he says, be a servant. Be someone that would signpost others to Jesus. Be someone that would signpost others to me. Just be an encourager. Be a blessing. And by the way, sometimes be a seat. Allow some people to benefit from you. Allow some people to rest in you. Allow some people to come to you and find me. And so seats for me are a constant reminder that this is always about people. I'm not really interested in the building next door, not really. All I'm interested in is people, and I want to follow after and be obedient to what God's called us to. I'm excited for it. Of course I'm excited, but I'm far more excited to see the people we're going to see saved, the amount of people that's going to have their lives dramatically turned around, people that will be healed, set free, delivered, people that will encounter the radical love of God and never be the same again. That's what I'm excited about. And seats are constantly waiting for someone to sit in them. That's why we love seats. They're always about people. Next slide, Peter. So here's the journey of our seats. I had a bit of a think. Here's what I want to remind you of. The seats that we sit in at the moment, we didn't pay for them. Somebody else did. But because somebody else paid for them, we get to benefit from them. These seats came. They're actually the biggest, in terms of the amount of them, in terms of the cost of them, they're the biggest free gift that we got in this whole building. And God always knew about it. He had always planned it like that. The Killy Haviland Hotel paid for these seats years ago. We just didn't know they were for us yet. They paid for them years ago. And then when they decided they were done with them and not fit for purpose, they said, would anybody else like them? We said we would love them. That saved us thousands of pounds. Thank you, Lord. And we received their seats and many more. We actually have 300 seats. But we received all, we give them a good clean, and they've come up amazing. So think of the journey of these seats and how many people have sat in them, how many people have got benefit from them, how many people have been able to rest or relax, or you know, think of the conferences, think of the weddings that people sat in these seats. And now, because of what somebody else did, we get to benefit from them. And here's my challenge this morning. Hit the button there for me, Peter. Now we have the opportunity to do the same for others. This is really the heart of what we're doing. Everything that we're building, we're not building it for ourselves. We're building it for others. Everything that Jesus did, he did it for everybody else. Do you think he went to the cross for himself? Do you think he came to earth for himself? No, I haven't come for myself. He says, I haven't come to be served, but I've come to serve. I've come for the lost. I've come for the broken. I've come for those in need. I have no need. I have the Father. See, for us this morning, in Christ, we have no need. But we haven't come for ourselves. We're not buying seats for ourselves. I heard somebody say, oh, you have to buy seats for yourself to get yourself in that building. What a load of nonsense. We haven't come to buy seats for ourselves. We've come to buy seats for generations. We've come to buy seats for those that don't even know they need to sit down yet. We've come to buy seats for those that haven't even heard about God or heard about a church. This is why we do it. We do it for everybody else. Every seat builds our building. That is the bottom line. And that building will be a lighthouse, will be a lifeboat, will be a place where people encounter the radical, amazing grace of Jesus Christ, where they will have their sins forgiven and their lives turned around, and they will just go for and do incredible things for God. Next slide, Peter. So where are we now? This is the exciting part. Go to the next one, Peter. How many seats have we sold? This is what I want to know. We haven't talked about it in a while, but I wanted to encourage you this morning. And so I got a bit fancy. I hope this is going to work. But I got a bit fancy with animations, and I wanted some seats to fly in. And I'm going to challenge you, see if you can count them quick enough. But here we go. Peter, hit the button and then hit it one more time. Here are all the seats that we have sold over this last 10 months. And it's incredible when you think that each one of these represents £1,800. I'm going to show you in a moment what that adds up to, which is an incredible number. And it just proves again the faithfulness of God. And many of us in here have bought seats, and even people outside that don't even know us or even connected to the ministry have done that. And we know that's going to have to happen for us to fulfill and step into all that God's called us to. So go to the next one, Peter. 89 seats is what we've sold so far. That's £185,490. Can we give the Lord some praise this morning? Wow. Five loaves and two fishes fed a lot of people. That is going to multiply with God's blessing. It's going to continue to increase. And I think, guys, I know that's a long way away from where we want to get to. But that's an incredible number. An incredible number. Many people that have given so far have given outright. Others are paying faithfully every month. That is amazing. And I encourage you, just keep praying, keep believing, because here's our goal for the end of the year. Peter, give me the next one. Our goal for the end of the year is that we spoke this at the start of the year. Could we achieve 100 seats? We've only got 11 to go. We've still got about 2.5 months to get there. I want to encourage you, but I also want to challenge you. Would you be that boy with the five loaves and the two fishes that was willing to sacrifice all that he had to give to the Lord with no idea what would happen next? But guess what happened next? Not only did everybody else eat, but he ate as well, and there was 12 baskets left over. But the key for the breakthrough was that he sacrificed what he did have. He gave all that he did have, and he allowed the Lord to bless us. God wants to encourage you this morning. Every good gift that you have came from me. In fact, everything that you have came from me. Would you be a blesser and return it, give it back in return, whatever you can, and be a part of what God is doing? This is really the challenge. This is really what God wants to challenge us with, because we can sit on the outside, or we can say to ourselves, you know what? I want to be on the inside. I want to be a part of it. I want to be excited. I want to be dreaming. I want to be believing. I want to be with them. We've 11 seats to go. I am praying. Here's what I'm really praying, is we're going to beat that 100, because he always does exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And what's been really exciting, and I'll just encourage some that have been doing this, what's been really exciting already, some people started to buy more seats over this last year as God has blessed them. Because here's what we felt around Easter time. We said, I believe, as Spirit spoke, and we spoke it out, and we said, I believe that God is going to bless us in ways that although we may not be able to do it yet, we'll be able to do it now. And God's going to bless us in ways that whatever we've done before, we're going to increase it along the way. Because as the Lord blesses us, then therefore our increase can come. And by faith, we step out and we do this. So what are we really after? Stage one is to raise $500,000. I think it's about 37.5%. I rounded it up to 40% just to make it a nicer number. But that's 40% of the way there with that 185,000. That's incredible, guys. We need to give God praise. We need to rejoice. We need to thank him. And we need to continue to sow and to give all that we can, because God is doing incredible things. And remember, we are buying seats that's going to see other lives impacted for generations in the same way as we're sitting in seats this morning that have impacted our lives. Next slide, Peter. With man, this is impossible. This is what we have been telling ourselves. This is what we have been banking on. This is what we've been believing on for the last 10 years, and 10 months, but actual fact, probably for the last 12, 13 years. Since we heard that God could do anything, I said, come on, Lord. You can do radical things through your people. We're not satisfied to do little. We want to do exploits for the kingdom of God. But with God, all things are possible. This is what we need to remind ourselves. By faith, we step in. By faith, we step out. By faith, we go for the kingdom of God. By faith, we go to countries that are not open for the gospel, and we see a mighty harvest. By faith, we pray for our family member every day, and 20 years later, they get saved. By faith, we step out, and wonderfully, God does something amazing with their lives. It's by faith that we step out. It's not wait until we see or wait until we touch. We step out in faith this morning, and we continue to do that in every way. Next slide, Peter. Together we can do it. And this is the call that God has been giving us all along the way. We're not just going to do this by ourselves. We're going to do it together. So how can I buy my seats this morning? I want to encourage you with this. You can grab a flyer, which there'll be some on the way out, or you can go to our website. Click the next button and you can see it at vibeni.com. But John 6:9 says this: here's a boy with five small barley loaves and two small fish. But how far will they go with so many? You see, when we look at it sometimes, we say to ourselves, well, what good would my £5 a month be, or my £40, or whatever it would be? What good would that be in the grand scheme of things? Every single thing we give back to the Lord, he blesses, he multiplies, he increases. What he's really after is the obedience of our faith, not really the size of our gift. The question is, will we give all? Are we still trusting that we need to do something and that we need to have this and we need to sort this and we need to be able to take care of that? Or do we trust him and say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Here's how we buy our seats, and I'd encourage you to pray about it and think about it, but in this way. You buy your seats with faith. You don't do it with fear. You don't do it under pressure. You don't do it because you feel you have to. You don't do it because you're trying to perform or you want somebody to think good of you. You do it by faith because you realize everything you received, you've received by faith. And so by faith, you exercise that gift and you step out. Next slide. So where are we in our vision at this moment? We've had an incredible 10 months, and I want to show you of some of the ways that we have been going for that fourth emergency service, where we have seen the Lord move in terms of being a continuous presence in the community. And so dreams have started to become realities, and they will continue to do so over these next few weeks and months. Next slide, Peter. This is our new building dreams. There's just a few of them. I'll not take time to read them all, but I'm going to put this slideshow on the website later on, and you can read through it, pour over it, whatever you'd like to do, and enjoy it. But there's just some of the things. Next slide, Peter. So 2018, I want to just give you an idea of some of the things that changed over this last 10 months. 2018, some guys have been given their time to learn how to counsel. They've been really seeking after that because they want to be a blessing in the kingdom. And of course, if you remember in our drawings, we have a counseling suite that we're planning because people need encouragement. People need to sit. They need to be able to talk. Sometimes it needs to be more than just, I'll pray for you at the front. Sometimes it's working through things, praying through things. And so we've got four people at the moment. Good news, we've still got four people going through that. I haven't quit. That's amazing. But the next one is really important. The room hire. We prayed and we said, Lord, how are we going to generate income and use our building on a regular basis? Well, last year in 2018, we had zero bookings. It didn't get used in any shape or form, really, other than a few in-house parties or some people saying, could we use it? And we offered it for free, of course. But over this last 10 months, what started to happen, we started to pray and we said, God, how could we get in touch with the council and say, you could use our premises, use our building? Miraculously, they started to email us and say, have you got any room? And then once one came, they said, this place is amazing. We've had all sorts of groups come through. We've had English classes. We've had kids that are struggling to go to school come through, and they run programs here through the council. We've had different organizations, different charities come, and all of that has generated thousands of pounds of income, which is incredible. And I believe God's just going to continue to increase that because we want to be a blessing and want to be a blessing in our community. We see iHeart Armagh last year, 250 visitors on the fun night, 70 volunteers, about 300 of the kids' club, and went on one missions trip. And then this year, we had, I think even 600 is a very low estimate. It felt like it was so much more. I think we did about 700 burgers and sausages. And I don't think anybody got more than one. So it was incredible to see so many people there. We had 80 volunteers, and we had nearly 450 kids over the 3 days to our holiday Bible club in here, which is just ridiculous. It's just amazing. And we're able to do two missions trips, and next year we're going to go to 4+, because our dreams is that we're going to run multiple trips. They'll go multiple times in the year, and we're getting that many invitations from people. We're going to have to do something. So get ready to go on different trips next year if you're up for that. Next slide, Peter. I love this photo. We don't even get the full thing. We need to get a drone for next year. We need to get up above everyone because it doesn't even look that big there. We couldn't fit it all in one shot. Josh got his back as far as he could, and he still couldn't get everybody in. But I just love that picture, and I stuck it up. Okay, next slide. But there's our touch points. Again, you can read them on the website. I'm just going to speed up because of time. All the different ways that we're touching the community, all the different ways, and that's only a few. There are still lots more. Next slide, Peter. So here's been our biggest dream, is that we would have a continuous effect and we would have a continuous impact in our community. Up until this point, all we've been able to do is be there quarterly. We've been able to start doing maybe monthly, going to the nursing homes that some of the guys have started. But again, it's just started. And mostly we've been able to do annually. We've been able to go in every year. But it's not enough because we want to be that fourth emergency service. We want to be a people that reaches into our community. You know what our dream really is? That people would miss us if we weren't here. Legitimately, they would really miss us. They'd be like, "Oh, what happened to those vibe guys? Where did those crazy vibe guys go? You know, they used to help us. They would be there for us. They would pray for us. They would tell us about God's love." You know, that's the impact we want to have. An impact that says, "Where did you go?" An impact that you would be missed. If you don't get missed, then you're not making an impact. So we have to make impact. And that's been one of our biggest dreams. And so we've been praying about it, and we've been asking God. And so go to the next slide, shows all our wonderful volunteers. But the truth is that we're all on the limits. I mean, I would say, we were talking to some friends the other week, and they were saying 50 to 60% of their church are volunteers. I would say pretty much everybody is here, and if you're not, I'm looking for you. Because we need all the volunteers that we can get. And not just in one role, you know yourself, you're helping out in multiple different things because we're trying to push it to the very limits of what we can achieve and do because we've been so blessed with so much. And so out of that love and out of that passion, we're like, God, what else can we do? What else can we do? It's not a chore. It's not heavy work. It's delight because we know that we're doing it through him and we're doing it through his grace. But our dilemma is, how do we do more, Lord? Because we all work. What are we going to do next? So we began to pray. Peter, give me the next slide. We said, Lord, we need more help. And so we began to pray, and I started to think about this, that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And he's always been like this. God has always been like that. He can't change. His nature will never change. He's just so good. He's just so faithful. And I've got some really exciting news this morning, because while we were praying, God was working. While we were praying and asking the Lord to do all the things that we were dreaming of and believing for continuous outreach and believing for a continuous presence in the community, God was also working on some people's hearts. And so what he has done behind the scenes is he has brought a team of three guys together that are willing to give their time over to us. I'm going to announce them in a minute, but they are going to make a huge impact and make a huge difference for us in the community and start to allow us to do that continuous presence. So I want you to give them a round of applause. We're going to welcome Ian, Aaron, and Killian up. Come on, give them a round of applause. These are our amazing guys that God has just been working on our hearts. And Ian will take more time in the weeks to come, but Ian and I have been friends for about a couple of years. We've been doing some missions together in Latvia. Ian has been working with our friends at Drop-In for a lifetime. And we went to Latvia. Here's the funny story. I'll not take too long, but we went to Latvia a couple of years ago, and I was like, Lord, I need a guy like Ian because he's able to go, he's able to get out there, he's able to make a difference to the community. I love what he does during the week. I mean, it would take too long to tell you, but he's helping people, he's encouraging people, he's making a difference in people's lives. He doesn't even realize the impact that he has, but they are just so grateful and thankful. And a lot of the people that he reaches have just no hope left. They're needing somebody to come and help them. I thought, Lord, we need something like that. So I began to pray. I began to pray and say, Lord, well, I don't think we could have Ian, but Lord, give me somebody else. Give me somebody else. But the Lord knows the desires of your heart. I'll tell you another funny story. Ian, a good friend of mine, Neil, Ian's pastor, his old pastor. I'm his new pastor now. I've took him over. But his old pastor said that he was praying that God would send a helper like Ian for us. He said he just didn't think it was going to be Ian. But in the kingdom of God, here's the way it works. We're not confined to the four walls of our communities, and that's the be-all and end-all. No, we're part of a big church. And God, you know what his dream is and his ideal is? Because you only have to read half of the New Testament, is that when Paul was done in one area, he would move on from the church and he'd go to another area. When Timothy was done here, he would move on and be a blessing there. This is the kingdom heart of God. It's not to stay in the tight bubble for the rest of your life. It's to be a kingdom blessing wherever the need is. So Ian has made a big, huge decision, because here's the bottom line. He's going to work full-time for Vibe. We can't afford to pay him. We can afford to pay him a small amount, but we can't afford to pay him all of it. But he's stepping out in faith and taking a huge risk with his family, with Julie and his two kids, and he's determined and he's focused and he knows that God has called him and God has been working all things out. He had a chat with the guys in Dropping a couple of weeks ago. It all went far, just incredibly well, and God has been a huge blessing. Aaron is going to be helping us out one day a week. He's going to be helping us. And then Killian is actually taking time off his full-time job to give us a day a week as well. I think these guys are incredible. We give them a round of applause. Can you say a quick hello?
I thought I was coming to a perfect church this morning, and then it all broke down. And then I was glad I broke down, you know, because it's great that someone just steps in and they sung a wonderful song. And I was sitting talking to Julian, and someone says, they should have left it that we think of the visions before they went and tried to do the technical stuff. And then Julie says to me, "When are you going to help them?" And I says, "Oh, no." That wouldn't be a good thing for technical. But you know, when Darrell says, we spoke about this for months, and we've had meetings and meetings. So we've had, and you know, the dream, when I see the visions, and I was in the worship this morning, when you see some people on their knees at the front, and some people come from the back and holding their hands and worshiping God, it's the vision. That's the vision. And I'm only back from Ukraine last night. I got back about 12 o'clock or so. And you know, I spoke in Ukraine yesterday, and it was about the boy and the bike, and when his chain broke, the bike stopped. You know, and I spoke about, I'm glad this people puts oil on my chain that keeps me going. And the people who keeps us going is here. It's all of us. We keep each other going. The link has to stay focused and has to stay oiled. So we have to oil each other. We have to keep pouring oil on each other's lives. We have to keep blessing people's lives. We have to keep you know, encouraging young people and old people like me. Okay. So listen, when I come on board, I need people around me. I can't do it on my own. I need to be focused. I need to people who's going to come alongside you. You can't do it on your own. There's definitely one thing you can't do it on your own. So I appreciate your prayers, and God bless. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. I'll let them talk more in weeks to come. I've got to finish up here. Next slide, Peter. So that's what God has blessed us with. But here's the thing, as Ian said, plus our incredible volunteers. No one's going to get to quit. We're going to just expect more of you. Amen? But it's going to be good. God's for you, and he's with you. Next slide, Peter. This is something then that we've been dreaming about, and this is a working title. The name may change, but the idea is that we will be like a Vibe Care, that we'll be that fourth emergency service, and we'll start to provide some things. And so we'll have like a storehouse that will have food and clothes and furniture available. So when Ian is meeting guys and the team are meeting people, they're able to be a blessing. They're able to say, "Hey, we can get you food fast. We can get you support fast. We can bless you quickly." We'll have emergency food packs and help. We're going to think about that debt counseling with CAP. We're going to step into that. We'll do the youth club when the time is right, and then also the soup kitchen. We've actually a couple of ladies that are ready to go on that. They're willing to just supply all of that to be a blessing to the people of Armagh, which is just wonderful. Next slide, Peter. We're nearly done. This is what I've been waiting for the whole time. This is our seat, right? So I bought this seat just as a prop. You may not all see it, but it's a beautiful seat. It's a great seat. Now, it's not the seats that we will have in our new building. They'll probably be a lot better than that. But this was just a wee cheapie that I bought. But I brought it as a prop this morning, because we began this morning with the idea of where is Jesus seated? And we know this morning that he's seated in heavenly places with Christ. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ. He's seated in heavenly places with his Father. That's where he is. His work is done. Things have been finished. He has completed all he needs to complete. And it's incredible. But this morning, we need to ask ourselves, where are we seated? Because you could be here this morning, and you're already offended by all the times we've talked about money. But I want to encourage you this morning, when you're seated in the right place, you'll not be offended by anything. Because when you're offended, you know what it means? It means like, what about me? I've got to supply some things. I've got to get some things. But when you understand who you are in Christ, when you understand that he supplies everything, there's no offense left. Because you know, no matter how much he blesses over here, there's still enough for you and still enough for over there. God is a wonderful, wonderful God. I want to read this next scripture, and then we're going to be done. Let's read it together. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he saved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the age to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, unmerited favor, in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. See, the truth this morning, if you are a new believer, if you're in Christ, then you're seated in Christ. You're seated in him. And what we are looking like spiritually is this. We simply come and we take our seat. And we say, Lord, you know what? No matter what stress comes my way, no matter what comes my way, I am seated in you. Here's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to get you up. He wants to get you up and say, well, oh, you're going to have to pray more. You're going to have to read more. You haven't been that good of a Christian. I mean, imagine you can't even give to this thing because you haven't been faithful with your money. Imagine you can't even begin to think about giving because you've squandered it somewhere else, or you haven't got a good enough job, or you haven't been good enough this, or you've made mistakes here. You know what God says? Keep taking your seat. Keep taking your seat because you have been seated with me in heavenly places. I have done everything for you. Your position in me is spiritual. And from this place, now think about this place. This is a place of rest. I had a couple of guys sit in the seat earlier. I'm not going to do it now because there's no time. But they sat down and go, that's a nice seat. That's a nice seat. You know what the enemy wants to do? Get us up. Get us up and going, ah, you're not good enough. Ah, God didn't really die for you. Oh, God didn't really set you free. Oh, you're going to have to work for this thing again. You've got needs. You're going to have to supply them. You've got issues. You're going to have to fix them. And God says, no, keep seated. Keep seated in this place because this is a place of power. This is a place of rest. This is a place of security. This is a place of strength. You see, I thought when we were just doing seats that it was just about trying to break down a huge number, but God was setting us up for glorious things. In fact, you know what I think this seat represents? My whole life. I used to be a person running about everywhere, thinking if I didn't pray enough, God wouldn't like me. I was wanting to go for this. I was wanting to do this. I was trying to go here. I was trying to go there. I was getting nervous. I was getting scared. I was getting anxious. You know what he kept saying to me? Take your seat. You're seated in heavenly places with me. Stop worrying about this. You know, I used to worry all the time about money, and then God told me to sit down. When I started to sit down and I started to give anyway, in spite of what I had in the account, and I started to be faithful with what I had, he started to bless me. That's not a twist to get you to give this morning. My life changed when I started trusting him for everything. Instead of getting up all the time, I kept sitting. The enemy constantly wants to get you up. He wants to get you running away. He wants to get you here, there, and everywhere. And he's got you deceived thinking that you're achieving something, but all you're doing is exhausting yourself, and you're running yourself into the ground with worry, anxiety, and confusion. And what does the Lord say? I want you to rest. Bro, a drink's not going to work. I've been hoarse for a week. But he just wants you to sit. He wants you to sit, and he doesn't want you to worry. Now, here's the difference. We're not sitting physically. No. Because as I've come and realized this, and I've sat in my seat with Christ, you know what it's allowed me to do? It's allowed me to preach. Because before that, I was just too nervous. I was too scared. It's allowed me to share my testimony. I remember when somebody asked me to share my testimony, I said, I can't do it. No way, I can't do it. I remember the first time somebody asked me to lead worship, I was sick. I remember the first time I did it, I was even more sick because I was worried they're going to ask me again. But then I started to realize my success is when I keep seated. Keep seated in Christ. You see, as I've stayed seated in Christ in heavenly places, I've realized how much he holds me. I've realized how much he's got me. All worry has decreased. All anxiety has disappeared. All stress of I've got to get this, I've got to get that, I've got to do it, it's disappeared. And from this place of strength, I've been able to go and do incredible things that I never thought was possible. If you had met me at 18, 19, 20, you would say I would never be sat here talking to all of you. But once I realized my position in Christ, I stopped getting up and I continued to sit in a place of rest. And that place of rest has made me powerful in ways that only God could tell you. It has allowed me to be alive for the kingdom of God. It has allowed me to go after the dreams that God has called me. And I encourage you this morning, where are you? Where are you in this journey of on the seat? Are you sitting right on the edge because you're like, well, maybe I have to do a wee bit? You know, are you kind of half up, half down? Are you over here because you give your life to Christ and then it just doesn't seem to work out the way you thought? Can I encourage you, as you give your life to Christ, it's not heaven, it's not going to be perfect, but he's going to be with you. That's what Danielle said earlier. He is going to be with you. He's going to give you radical, crazy dreams. You know what the problem with this dream over here is? if you're not careful, it's going to send you mad. You know what we need to do with it? We need to sit down and rest. Because we know this is God's idea. This is God's dream. He's got it already taken care of. Now from this place, we can exercise our faith. From this place. God, you're going to bless me. God, I'm going to bless you. God, you're going to turn that situation around. God, that person I'm praying and believing for, I'm going to see them saved. Because I'm in a position of rest. This is a position of power. It's a position of security. And the enemy's going to come. And he's going to try and whisper to me. And I'm going to lean back all the more. And I'm going to feel the rest. I'm going to feel the strength of God. And I'm going, wow, I am seated in heavenly places with Christ. You cannot move me from this place, enemy. You cannot distract me from us. And when any of our friends come to try and get us out of it, we will lean back all the more. We say, no, I'm going to rest. Now, can I leave you with one last picture? And I really will be done because I'm having too much fun at this point. But here's the dream, and here's the visualization of being seated in heavenly places with Christ. Do you know who's beside you? Jesus. Wow. Wow. Do you know who's on this side? Everybody else. Suddenly it's strength. Suddenly it's like, wow, I'm not in this thing alone. The enemy loves to get you isolated, loves to get you frantic, loves to get you running, loves to get you running away from God and the people of God. Now I've got the people of God beside me. I've got the Son here. I've got the Father there. Oh my goodness. Anytime I'm worried, I look to the side. Anytime I'm worried, I just look to this side, I look to that side, and I realize, I go, wow, there are people beside me. The Father is with me. The Son is with me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It may look impossible, but I'll lean back all the more and I'll look left and I'll look right and I'll go, wow, can anything stop the Lord? Can anything stop what he is wanting to do through me? No, because this is not my idea. This is his idea. Where are you seated this morning? I want to finish off with an opportunity to give your life to the Lord because that's the ultimate prize. That is the ultimate seat. To be seated in heavenly places with Christ. But if you are saved this morning and you do know the Lord this morning, then make sure that you're taking your seat in spiritual places. Make sure that you know where you're seated. Make sure you know who you are. Make sure you know where you're sat because it's from that place you will do incredible, impossible things. And when everybody else says you're crazy, you'll turn around and say, no, I'm just crazy for him. He is faithful to me. I'm going to do greater things. I am going to do it because he is with me and he has commanded me to go.